You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking New York Mets with WFAN Mets reporter and broadcaster Ed Coleman. Ed, it's been already some up and down for the Mets in a relatively short span. Something interesting this weekend, Wilmer Flores got what's being described as a little break or a little breather. He's hit well. He's had some defensive struggles. What's the plan with Flores right now?
Well, they have told us anyway, Matthew, that he's going to have a long leash. What that means, I'm not exactly sure. Obviously, with a pitching staff like the Mets have, you need pretty strong infield defense, and they haven't gotten that either from Wilmer Flores or Ruben Tejada when he's filled in either. So they've had some problems there, but they do believe Flores will hit. Currently he is tied to the lead in home runs, not very many, just three thus far in the season. But, he's shown some pop at the plate. He hasn't been great. They think he can be better. They think some of that offense will make up for the lack of range at defense, but really the range has not hurt him that much thus far. It's either been a bobble here and there or an errant throw. Seven errors, obviously, project out to about 45 or 47 before the year's out. And I think that may be a little bit too many.
Yeah, when they give a guy a little time off like this, in this case, should that be read more as some concern and maybe look at alternatives, or is that maybe more the opposite, that, hey, we really need this guy to be a part of this, and so we're going to kind of give him a chance to get his head right and get going again?
Yeah, I think the game the other day, the Friday game, probably was the turning point to sit him down for a couple of games. He had the golden sombrero that game, had an error as well. They said Terry Collins already had him penciled in for an off day on Saturday, and I think he just extended that through Sunday. I'm sure he'll be at shortstop and in the lineup tomorrow against the Baltimore Orioles and probably most of the week as well, too. I wouldn't read too much into it at this point in time. Obviously, the play has to improve over time, and again, if you're going to have the crucial error that's going to turn the fulcrum in a game and, be the turning point of the game and put your pitchers in jeopardy, then, that's not going to wash for a very long period of time. But they believe it will get better.
Of course, shortstop, not the only place in the infield in flux right now. They bring up Dilson Herrera and move Daniel Murphy over to third base. First of all, does that say anything about David Wright's situation? Is that maybe any kind of an indication that David Wright's return is not quite as imminent as it had seemed?
Yeah, you can probably read into that, Matthew, because it's Wright, they had talked about hopefully being back for the weekend series in Philadelphia. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're probably looking at the following week. They want to make sure that the hamstring is totally good and that he will take off from here and not go out again or not suffer a relapse of that injury. So they want to be careful with him. And right now he's still having, I think, a little bit of difficulty. He's doing baseball activities down in Florida, but really has not run the bases that much. So I think, they're being careful with him right now. So you can probably read into that a little bit. They'll put Murphy there for the time being. They've said that when Wright comes back, Murphy will go to second. Herrera, depending on how he does, obviously will probably go back to AAA. But I think they'll give it as long as they can to make sure the Wright is totally healthy when he gets back.
When they call up Herrera, who's a pretty well-regarded prospect, is that more about what's not happening on the big league roster, or is that more just about wanting to take a shot on a guy who's a pretty intriguing player?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is I don't know if the Mets last year at this time would have done things this way. They probably just would have ridden things out and left Herrera down there. He did come up last year. He was an early cut in spring training, but I didn't read that much into it because they just wanted to get him in place and get his at-bats at the minor league level. He performed very well. He was hitting .370 at AAA, so they brought him up. I do think that they believe he is the future at that spot. I think they have high regard for Matt Reynolds, who's a shortstop down at AAA in Las Vegas. Both of those guys, I think, are on the horizon, so to speak. But Herrera is the guy that they can use right now with shifting Murphy over to third, and that's the way they want to play it. But I think what it says in general is that the Mets have their prospects are probably in a better place at this time this year than they were last year, and that they can probably, I guess, more confidently, you know, call on them to come up and fill the breach this year as opposed to last year.
What sort of player, both offensively and defensively, do the Mets think and do you think that Herrera becomes? Because, again, I think, to my understanding, he's a pretty well-regarded player.
He is, yeah. They were very happy to get him last year from the Pirates. They had high hopes for him. He came quickly last year and, you know, basically made the jump from Double A to the majors. He struggled at this level, but they kind of expected that. He hasn't exactly taken off thus far, but, you know, it's early. He's only had a couple of games under his belt, two or three games, so they expect a little bit more. They think that, you know, listen, he can be close to a 300 hitter, field his position very well, turn the double play very well, and also have a little bit of pop in his bat, too. For a little guy, he's built compactly, and he's got a little pop in his bat. So they believe that, you know, he can be a 10 to 15 home run guy, but also hit for average and be a good on-base percentage guy and field his position well. So they'd be very happy with that at second base if they could get it.
Coming out of this weekend series with the Nats, it's certainly not as though the Mets were knocked around at all, but I think it has to be considered a disappointment after this looked like a big series. They pitched well. They just didn't score any runs. Now, some of that obviously is Washington can pitch, but how does this offense kind of get back to being productive, aside from just not having to face the Nationals starters for a while?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm sure they're working on that right now because it has been a problem. And the middle of the lineup has been a little bit barren right now, too. Lucas Duda and Michael Kadire had a couple of big spots in the final game of that series on Sunday, and both came up empty with a couple of runners in scoring position. So things have not gone well there. They didn't hit well with runners in scoring position pretty much throughout that series, which hurt them. But I would say that they're not totally concerned about it from this vantage point. You know, you mentioned the Washington pitching, and I know that the first two guys who pitched probably have bigger reputations, but Gio Gonzalez and Doug Fister have been just death against the Mets. Gio is 6-1 at Citi Field. In 9 career starts. He loves pitching there, loves the mound, and he did it again on Saturday. And Doug Fister has made 5 starts against the Mets, 5-0. So they don't get too much off of either guy, and they didn't get anything off either guy this time around. As a matter of fact, you know, they have 18 scoreless innings right now, but if you take out a 3 spot that they got in the 8th inning and the 4-0 win on Friday night, that came off a line drive from Daniel Murphy, but Jason Worth misplayed the ball in left field. So if you take those 3 away, Michael Kadire's solo home run in the 4th inning has been basically the only run here for the last 3 days. So they have some work to do, and I think the middle of the lineup obviously has to pick it up a little bit, but probably, you know, down from 1-8 as well, too.
One last thing, and I'll let you go, and thank you for your time. Anything at all surprising about what Matt Harvey has done at the start of this season? 5 starts, and to my eye, looks like the same guy we saw before he got hurt.
Yeah, well, I guess that shouldn't be surprising enough as it is that he is the same guy, and I agree with you, Matthew. I think he hasn't missed a beat, skipped a beat, and this is from spring training on. Honestly, this is from the first start in spring training when he went out and pitched, you know, his 2-inning stint to lead things off in spring training. The second start in spring training and probably the second start on the major league level have not been weren't tremendous, but outside of that, it's been to me he's been lights out. He's done everything he's wanted to do out there. He's had very little traffic on the base paths. The last start he had, a runner did not get beyond second base, even though he had a runner on I think every inning. He's just been tremendous. The command of his pitches. And I think the fastball command escaped him in his last start. But basically, when that happened, he still had his breaking ball and slider that he was throwing in for strikes at any count. So the total command he's had of his pitches, the presence on the mound, the 96, 97 mile an hour fastball, whenever he needs it, he reaches for it. He looks like the same guy. He looks healthy. I've said a couple of times already that I think he's well on his way to winning 20 games, and he's 5-5 thus far. So. Unless he gets hurt, unless something happens, or he gets a dead on somewhere, you know, during the season, I think this will continue. So I wouldn't be surprised at anything he does this year.
All right. Well, Ed Coleman, thanks very much for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.